Amen. Amen. We're at Romans. We're still in Romans 8, loving that we've been going through the book of Romans. Hallelujah. What a powerful book, knowing that Paul was delivering the gospel to a churches, home churches in Rome that he had not had a chance to even visit yet. He eventually did. If you read the last few chapters of Acts, you'll see where he's incarcerated in Jerusalem and eventually there for a couple of years before he finally appeals to Caesar, so they send him to Rome by ship and finally goes, you know, then the book of Acts ends. We don't see when he goes before him, but it ends where he's in Rome in a house arrest. And so this is, you know, his desire was to go to Rome. They say he actually, by the way, they say that Paul actually was released and then went on to Spain, but then eventually was incarcerated and imprisoned again in Rome, and they say that he was beheaded in Rome. But they say he went on to Spain, you know, the thinking is. So he did more. He went to the outer utmost at that time for the Gentiles, amen? Given that gospel that we talk in Galatians, it talks about the gospel that was given to him, right, by the gospel of grace that he was able to share to many areas of the world, of the known world at that time. So Romans 8, we're going to start at that verse 16. Bill, you did have that. Did you find all those scriptures that I had, brother? Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Bill. Oh, it'll be good. Thank you, Bill. So Romans 8, 16, through, we're going to try to get through the end of the chapter, but in verse 16 it says, the Spirit of himself testifies with our spirit, the Spirit of, well, who's himself, meaning God, the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen? Does your spirit testify to you? Amen. But have you ever been in a time in your life where it's like, or I meet people, they say, I hope I'm going to heaven. I had a dear saintly grandmother some years ago who passed away, and she was very godly. I used to tell her, Grandma, if you're not going to heaven, nobody is. But a Church of Christ, but what she believed, it was always never, she wasn't really sure. The way that she was taught, the way that she was raised, the gospel that she believed, she was all, her and my grandfather was like, I hope when I take that last breath that I will actually be in his presence. Well, she loved Jesus. Jesus was her Savior. I knew she was going to heaven. I looked at her life and her. She was definitely born again, loved Jesus with all her heart. I never knew anything different, but she didn't have that assurance. So that spirit, I'm asking tonight, does your spirit testify that you're a child of God, that by the Holy Spirit, and really that comes to believe and right. It's right believing. It's an understanding of who you are in Christ. It's a right understanding of the gospel. So by faith, not when I have a bad day, I'm like, well, not today. Don't want to die today. Today wouldn't be a good day to die for me. You know, the next day, right, you're doing better, what you perceive as better. Well, today would be a good day. And now, if I died today, I would make it to heaven. But the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. I like 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14, our powerful scripture. Let's read that together. It says, but we should always give thanks to God for you. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. It says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord. Do you have that, Bill? Okay. I'm going to wait. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. 2 13 says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning, wow, from the beginning, for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't believe in just... I believe that God is not willing, or Jesus and God is not willing, that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. But I also know he knows those who are going to come to him. He knows that we would choose him. You look at the scripture again. I'm going to read this again. But we should always, verse 13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Hallelujah. You know, when you realize that, hey, by faith, amen, he's doing the work in my life, we can feel very much established. We can have our rest in him and say, Lord, I belong to you. It says we believe those scriptures that talk about our assurance of salvation in him, because we believe he is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man cometh unto the Father but through him. If you believe that right now, you can be assured, you can bear witness with your spirit and the Spirit of God that you're born again. Amen. And who does the work there? It says that the sanctification by the Spirit. So the Spirit, sanctification meaning the growth in him. The continued growth and changing. Amen. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in the first two verses, it says you've been sanctified by Jesus Christ. And then if you read further along about what that church was like there, you wouldn't think that that church to a great degree was sanctified. You would read about all the struggles they had in there, all the factions. You know the stories, the factions, the man that was sleeping with his dad's wife, his stepmother, and the church was not doing anything about it. Amen. You know about the drunkenness when they get together for the Lord's Supper. They were getting drunk. They were trying to prove who had the best spiritual gifts, who was in leadership, and so forth. But if you go to chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, you wouldn't know that. It says you've been sanctified by Jesus Christ. Meaning that they were born again, they belong to God. They belong to the family of God. So we know that Paul said, he wrote the first book of 1 Corinthians. And then he wrote them again, and he said, hey, I'm coming to see you. And some of you are saying that I sound real big in my letters. I sound tough in my letters, but in person, I'm not very intimidating. Like, you know, they say he was only like 4'11", right? Maybe Apostle Paul. In himself, he wasn't intimidating, but he did do miracles before them, the signs of a true apostle, right? So he was saying, hey, there's some people there that still need some straightening out on what they believe and what they're doing. He says, don't let me get tough when I get there. Don't make me get tough when I get there. But if you read the first couple of chapters of 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, you simply wouldn't know that. Basically, God was saying, hey, through Paul, you belong to me. You belong to me. You belong to me. I'm doing a sanctifying work in you. Don't give up. You belong to me. Stir yourself up again. You belong to me. Make sure you're hearing those things that draw you closer to me and you realize my love for you. Don't listen to the voices out there. Don't listen to the voice in your head. Don't listen to those tapes that would try to discourage you. Don't listen to those things that would ultimately, if you continue to listen to them, you give up. You give up. But we're not of those who will give up, amen? We're not of those that are going to listen to a voice that tells us or condemns us, or Satan, which means the accuser. We're not going to listen to the accuser, because the accuser, as we've mentioned over and over again, wants to sound like the voice of God. Amen. But if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that his blood was shed for you, that he is the way, the truth, and life, I'm telling you right now, as 1 John says, nobody says that Jesus is the Christ but by the Spirit of God. Amen. You can be assured that you'll spend eternity with him in heaven. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Regardless of the struggles, regardless of what we face, we know someday we will see him face to face. Amen. 1 Peter 1, part of the end of verse 1, in the beginning of verse 2, but in 1 Peter verse 1, it says, who are chosen? That last little part, who are chosen? Peter talks about who it's to Jews that he's writing to that are scattered in different parts of the world, the different nations. But he says, who are chosen? And then verse 2 says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Amen. to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Hallelujah. Once again, it says, according to the foreknowledge of God, that we belong to him. The last part of the verse 1 of 1 Peter, saying there directly that we are his. We are chosen. We belong to him. Amen? It gives us the ability to rest. Knowing that we are his gives us the ability to take a deep breath. Thank you. I belong to you. Peter saying to those scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are what? Chosen. Lovely to be chosen by our Savior. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That talking about the sanctifying work, meaning purification, the purifier. You could put it this way: God the Father, by the purifying work of the Spirit, by the purifier of the Holy Spirit, meaning that he's continuing to purify us and change us. Are we already righteous in his sight? Yes, by his blood. But he's talking about that work as you're growing in him. Amen. As your heart starts crying out to him, saying, Lord, I want to be more and more like you. I know that being more and more like you gives me more rest and peace throughout the day. Things don't bother me like they once did. Or these things that you're right in the middle of a challenge, that's when you know in your own struggle, you say, thank you, Lord, that I'm growing up through this, growing up beyond this and past this. That this is no longer going to be something that plagues me. This is something that no longer continues to twist and bind me in my thoughts, in my emotions, in my heart. Amen? Constantly. It never ends. It doesn't mean that we're trying hard. It's just that as we're growing in him and say, Lord, yes, I see that. Thank you for doing that work. I see it. That is the sanctifying work of his Spirit. Amen? Because we are dead to sin, by the way. We know this, that we're sanctified, growing in him by remembering what we'd mentioned before, that we are alive unto Christ by the Holy Spirit. But as Paul says in the Romans 6 that we studied, but dead to sin, buried with Christ. Amen? Buried with Christ. So 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, just a reminder. Therefore, rid yourselves, it says, of all malice and all deceit, and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, and like a newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word. Did you know as we get the word together or in your time of study, that's pure milk that's growing you, it's growing you, it's nourishing your soul, amen, through the Spirit of God that lives in you, it's nourishing you, it's growing you, it's strengthening you. It's opening your eyes more and more. Amen. The Lord revealing more and more of himself to you. That's what it is. We're growing up in him by the pure milk of the Word of God. Amen. When you look at the Word of God, do you read it for because it's your duty to read? Or do you look at it and say, Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to me? Is the Word alive? Amen. I'm telling you, the Word is alive. If you want the Word to be alive, it'll be alive. If you desire for the Word of God to be alive, it will come alive. If it's something that's just your duty, I've got to read this section or I've got to please God, so I'm going to read this section. I'm telling you, it remains dead. That's dead works. You can't please God by reading the word. He's already accepted you because he shed his blood. But if you're reading the word saying, God, reveal yourself to me. I want to see you more clearly. I want to reveal the personality, the love, the thinking of my Father. His thoughts are higher than mine. But through his word, through his Spirit, he reveals those things to me. Amen. When I'm reading this word, saying, thank you, God, for revealing yourself to me. The revelation of the word changes marriages. The revelation of the word changes our attitudes on the job. The word revealed to us changes just our outlook on life. I remember when God started revealing his grace and his goodness to me, I remember driving to church one day and I thought, the trees are greener today. But just something in me, I don't know what it was. The world wasn't as gray as it was. It wasn't as blasé. I noticed the trees. I noticed his creation afresh and anew. It was amazing. The Spirit of God does that. It makes everything greener. Amen. Everything, we see life around us. We see the things that are death are dead, I understand, but we see life around us. Amen. 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 The kindness of the Lord, 1 Peter 1 through 3. Verse 3, have you tasted the kindness of the Lord? Verse 2 says, and if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, aren't you glad you've tasted the kindness? Father, we thank you for your kindness in every area of our life. Your kindness. Romans chapter 2, it's the kindness of the Lord that leads a man to repentance. Lord, thank you that we see your kindness. Lord, that you are your kindness. Seeing his kindness. Do you love his kindness? It's easy for people to look for the gloom and the darkness of everything. It's just easy. It's just, if you turn on the news, that's all you're going to see. Amen. Remember, I can't think of his name right now, but he's got a brother that does a lot of traveling in the Middle East. And Fox News wanted to interview him. But they only wanted bad news. And he would not do the interview because he says there's good things happening here. If you're just wanting the bad news, I'm not going to do it. What is it about the spirit of the world that just wants to spread bad news? Because it wants to be like a heavy blanket on people around the world that everything is bad. Bad news to be in fear. It's about propagating fear. They may not even realize it, but it's the spirit of the world propagating fear. The stories that I read, that I just mentioned, that I read before I got here, trying to propagate fear in my life, like a wet blanket. But there's good news. Amen, Father God. Thank you, Father. Verse 17 of Romans chapter 8. And if children, it talks about if we're children, heirs, going back to verse 16, says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Now suffer, when you look at that in the Greek, means tribulations. Let me just say, sometimes we can read this and we start thinking suffer. We think, God's going to bring suffering on me. Or God's going to do this. I'm telling you that God, there's enough trouble in this world. We don't need anything for God to bring suffering on us. Amen. The enemy, we know this scripture over, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So another thing, lie of the enemy is God is out to keep you humble. So things are going to be difficult. Everything that comes into your life or comes against you is him teaching you a lesson when it's actually opposite. And it's the enemy doing that to try to get you to give up. And you think God is bringing these things against you to say, are you going to stand up strong? Are you going to stand up strong? It's not God. God's saying, you could do this. In this life, you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome this world. Amen. Don't buy into this thing that God's bringing these things into you to try to teach you a lesson. Are you kidding me? There's enough trouble in life. Or when people get in trouble, if you go rob a bank tomorrow, that's called consequences. And that's nothing to do with God. Don't blame God for those consequences. Right? You know that if you go rob a bank tomorrow, most likely you'll get caught eventually. But that had nothing to do with God. That's the consequences. You go out and drink enough alcohol and drive, you're going to get in trouble. Is that God or is that consequences? Amen. The consequences say, no more of that. So we have our loving God, our God who's with us, for us, telling us to stand up. You know, during this time where Peter, 2,000 years ago, and we'll see some more as we go through this, there was a great pressure upon us, even especially Jewish Christians, to deny their Christian faith and go back to the Mosaic Law. They were being persecuted horribly. Paul, we look at Paul, his biggest instigators as he was traveling, read it, especially you'll read it, especially in the book of Acts, where it was the Jews that were instigating trouble coming against him. There was this pressure that you're saying the Mosaic Law is no longer the way to life. You're saying that we just cast this aside. There was a huge portion of Jews that said no, they rejected Christ. Reading today in the Gospels where some believed him, but many, even after the miracle, still did not believe in him. So we talk about this suffering. There was this huge thing again. There was this huge pressure. You've got to come back to your roots. You've got to come back to the Mosaic Law, or you at least got to follow the law and that. This huge pressure. So you got to think of the context of Peter 2,000 years ago, who he's writing to, what's going on. We see that today. There's pressure. I think about the baker that has a bakery in Colorado. But remember, he went to the Supreme Court because he would not bake a cake for a gay or lesbian couple, right? He won that in the Supreme Court, and now he's getting sued again. Because he wouldn't make a cake for a coming out transgender party. It's just the devil. That's the devil once again trying to persecute him. I pray that man will just stand again. Man, what fortitude that guy had. What fortitude. So we have instances in our own country where people are being persecuted for standing up for the truth. School teachers. People in certain positions, maybe you and I don't perhaps, but around this country, certain people in certain positions, you can't even have a Bible anymore on the desk. Persecution. Lord, we pray that those who are undergoing persecution that we don't hear about, Lord, that you be with them. We're already undergoing that in this country to a degree. Amen. We already see laws being passed to try to push us, to try to persecute us, pressure us against to let down and not stand up for Christian Judeo values. Amen. So when you think about what Peter's talking about at this time. Amen. 17, I mentioned, and if you suffer. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with God, if indeed we suffer. Trials in life do come. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. Powerful scriptures. We're going to read it. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though something strange were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory, you may also rejoice and be overjoyed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, we're saying, what is this? What are we talking about, this trial? If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but to glory in God in this name. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the suffering that was going on. What was going on with those Christians there? What was happening there? What we was talking about? My whole point of this is, when we think about suffering, just don't think about these being God putting things in your path or bringing things against you to purify you, to teach you a lesson. No, it's the enemy that comes against us. Amen. Some of the things that I've heard before, it's like, if that's the way God is, I is that a loving father? Some of that would be considered, abuse. But yet we through religion, through the mindset of the enemy, we can think that God is bringing things against us somehow to teach us a lesson. But the word says we're to stand firm against that. Amen. We have a loving father. Amen. A loving father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will reveal to us. The trials and tribulations in life, amen? 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. Did you know when we see him on that day, when we see the new heaven and earth, it's going to blow, we won't even be able to comprehend it, it says. Amen. You think of how short life is, amen? We make the best. We're not just thinking about getting out of here. But it says to eagerly anticipate his return. Be looking at his return. I can't help to be but looking at him. As I look at him now that I have a proper understanding with him, it's not with fear, it's with eagerness. I eagerly wait to see him now. Amen. Not doing this going, oh man, I'm going to be tough on that day. A celebration. The marriage supper of the Lamb, amen. There won't be any tears there. It's going to be awesome. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be awesome. Verse 19, for the eagerly awaiting creation awaits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. For the eagerly awaiting creation, this earth, the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. You know, this earth was created for you and I. Look at Adam and Eve. They had dominion. This was created for them, for us. A new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter 3:10 through 13 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So we're talking about his return. We're talking about this new, when it says, for the eagerly awaited creation waits. It says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be destroyed. Verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat, but according to his promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. All perfect. A new heaven and a new earth for you and I. For you and I, not for, this is for the children of God, amen? Amen. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18, it says that holy conduct and godliness, right? Just want to talk a little bit about this. That if you read that chapter, He talks about those that are misinterpreting the scriptures. If you read that whole chapter, he says there's those who take Paul's writings, talking about Apostle Paul, they can be hard to understand, but the ignorant and unlearned can twist them like they do all the other scriptures. So that's why he's encouraging him to walk in what you know, in this holy conduct and godliness. So he goes down into 2 Peter 3, 7 and 18. Further down it says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unscrupulous people and lose your own firm commitment, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. You know, this holy conduct and godliness, how do we do that? How do we do that? By growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Amen. Growing in his grace and his knowledge. We're talking about those who misinterpreted, twisting the scriptures. He's talking about Paul's writings specifically when you read that. Many of you reading Paul's writing, you know, if you talk about it at that time, saying he doesn't mean what he says there. He really means this. What were they twisting and misinterpreting? The grace of God. See, he had that grace message that, say, by grace, talking about in Romans, what we talked about in chapter 3 and 4, but that even talking about Abraham was justified by faith, amen, and not by works. If you read in Galatians where people came down, Jewish people came down to the Galatian church and says, you need to get circumcised. You need to start following certain aspects of the law, twisting what his writings, twisting what he said. He says, if you go back that route, you've got to follow the whole law. He says, you've believed in vain. You're going back to the law. That's what they mean by twisting what he wrote. Going back to works. Going back to being justified by the law. Going back to the Mosaic law at that time. Amen. But you and I are standing firm. Amen. Standing firm in his grace, in Jesus' name, in the word of God, in his truth. Amen. Verse 20 of Romans 8. For the creation was subjected to futility. Right now it's futile. Even the earth realizes it's under a curse. That what Adam and Eve did with this, with the entire world, there wasn't even weeds before the fall of Adam and Eve. There was no thistles. Everything was perfect. But with the fall of the world being subject to the curse, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to work. Ever stepped on a goat head? Ow! You know there's a fallen world when you step on a goat head. I'm telling you. And you have to live in Chino, I think, to know what those are. Amen. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption and to the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Once again, this world being transformed, we read the elements for us. You read about in the book of Revelation about the new Jerusalem coming down to the earth. Here, heaven's going to be on earth. It says he's going to dwell with us. There won't even be a sun anymore because of his glory. There won't even need to be a sun right here on earth. God's plan for this earth, so even though it's been subjected to the curse right now, it says, but the elements of this earth are going to burn up, a new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem where we will dwell with him forever. The glory of the children of God, you and I. In John 12, 31 through 33, it says, now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Who's that, Satan? And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Now he was saying this and to indicate what kind of death he was going to die. For you and I, the power of Satan over our lives is done. The power of Satan on this world is working through people who believe him. The power that he has over our lives is only what we are tricked into believing. If you're struggling, that doesn't mean that you're not God's. If you're struggling, that doesn't mean that you're not holding him. That's the things that Satan plants in our minds. Those are the records that continually play, that renewing of our mind removes those things. If you're born again, we belong to him. We're not subjected to his authority. Now, we understand that we still step on goat heads. We understand that we still deal with people in a fallen world. You ever done that? I had that experience today. Just life. Not everybody realizes. We're understanding that in this world that we have pressure coming from the enemy. Amen? But we're not subjected to that. Amen? So set free from slavery. Thank you, Lord. I reminded that Jesus said he would be lifted up. I go to a type and shadow that's in Numbers 21, 8 and 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and put it on a flagpole. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten by these snakes, there were serpents biting people, and looks at it, will live. Look, put this bronze serpent on a pole, lift it up. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on the flagpole. And it came about that if a serpent bit someone and he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. You know, Jesus became sin for us. A serpent representing the power of the devil in an individual's life. A serpent representing us being bit by sin. Amen. Everybody's born bit by sin. And looking at that bronze serpent, people lived, were healed from that bite. Amen. When you and I look at Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins, the power of sin, just like that type and shadow of a serpent that was put up that they looked at, they were healed. Our lives are healed when we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the shame, endured what he had to for us on the cross, and is now at the right hand of the Father. Amen. A type and shadow, even in the Old Testament. If I be lifted up and men look to me. You know, it's interesting that before that time that in Numbers they were complaining about the food. If you look at the translation, it said, this food is rotten, God's sending us. We're getting tired of it. It's rotten. Complaining and complaining. These serpents bit them. They had to look at that. Aren't you glad that God's grace on us when we complain that he's still with us? But you know, I'm learning that, and we'll talk about it Sunday, that when I watch my mouth, I don't want complaining. The things out of our mouth can attract the enemy into our lives, into our homes. I'll mention it this Sunday. Me and Gina have a good missionary friend who they have a church in Bangkok, Thailand. I'll never forget one time he was telling me he was having a heated battle with his wife. Different that weren't good. He said he woke up that night and there's an evil spirit at the foot of his bed. And he said, Lord, why did you let that in? And he said, the Lord spoke to his heart and said, I didn't let that in. You did. The Lord's gracious. He allowed him to experience that, to realize what would come out of his mouth. I don't want the enemy biting me. I don't want to give, as I learn about him, I don't want to give him place in my life. I'm not looking at a bronze serpent anymore. I'm looking at Christ who was on a cross, but is now at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. Amen? I don't have to have the power of the enemy bringing those accusations against me and believing those. I don't have to have those same things that bring suffering in my life just because of the things I believed in or allowed in my life through decades. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord or haven't. Sometimes there's things that we've allowed in our life that vex our souls. As you get closer to the Lord, you start noticing those things that vex you. When you start noticing those things that are vexing you, start asking the Lord, Lord, what is that? What's vexing me? What's stealing my joy? He'll start showing those things. A lot of times it's just an attitude that you've got to change. A lot of times it's just a thought pattern that you have to change, and you get freedom from that. It's an area of a lie that the enemy has been able to have access in a life for who knows how long, that can bring vexing in our lives with our attitude, with our soul, or whatever it is, and we don't even realize it because we've lived with it for years. And as we draw closer to the Lord, we start saying, what is that thing that's vexing me? Lord, what is it that keeps coming against me that I just live with? Lord, show me of it so I can turn from it or change my thinking so this thing can be released from my life to walk in total peace. The Lord wanting us to walk in total peace. Amen. Total peace with him. Amen. Amen. Total peace with him. Lord, we thank you for peace today. Lord, we thank you for the spirit of peace. Lord, we thank you that we belong to you. Jesus, that you love us. You love our, for those of us that are married, Father God, thank you for peace in our homes in Jesus' name. If you're alone, thank you. I thank the Lord for bringing you comfort. Being your best friend, being your strength, realizing that he's all you need, amen? He's all you need, Lord. We thank you for bringing peace in our homes regardless of the situations, Father God. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the spirit of peace. So we thank you for that peace in our homes, Lord. Understanding what we allow in our homes that can bring disruption to that peace. That can bring choppy waters in our hearts. In our souls, Lord, we thank you that we have the tenderness of the Holy Spirit, that you would that you love us so much that we can identify that in our hearts, and you show us how to deal with it. He's so loving, already righteous because of the blood of Jesus, but he wants so much more than just being righteous and seated with him, but a maturity and a peace in the flesh. Dead to sin. Those things that would try to pull at us, we're dead to it in Jesus' name. Those things that would continue to try to pull at us, sinful things, it's dead to us in Jesus' name. I used to think, it's impossible. What do you mean dead to it? I don't get it. I don't understand it. But as we walk with him, he reveals it to us. He says, yes, you can walk away from that. Yes, you can have peace. Yes, I've designed you to walk in comfort. I've designed you to walk in assurance, in confidence, coming before his throne room with boldness. Amen? With boldness. That would seem cocky. To a great God, it would seem opposite of what Isaiah did when he was in the presence of God. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. He said, woe is me. But he wasn't born again. The great prophet Isaiah was not born again. He didn't have the Spirit of God living in him. With the Spirit of God living with us, now that we don't have to have a sacrifice year after year after year going into the Holy of Holies as they sprinkled on the mercy seat. Now, just once and for all, amen. Once and for all, the blood sprinkled on you and I. Jesus going into the Holy of Holies, once and for all. Those things being type and shadows, but now that we live in reality, once and for all, amen. We don't have to have the great high priest going into that room once a year, scared to death if he did something wrong. They're going to pull him out dead. But you and I are already dead, dead to sin and alive unto him. We thank you for that today, Lord. Maturity, confidence in your people. I'm telling you, there's people coming forth now that never would have dreamt it, had given up on it. Now this gospel of grace, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. This gospel of grace is making a way for people that have been living in sin abounding, being trapped in bondage and chains, who love Jesus with all their heart, but say, I can't get free, I can't do it. And then here comes the gospel of grace. He who's been forgiven much, loveth much. We're getting us ready to see some passionate people. If you've been in bondage for decades, thought I'll never get free, and all of a sudden the gospel of grace opens your eyes. You can't help but to tell other people about his grace. You can't help but to be a brand new person. We are seeing that in this day and age. This is what's going to happen. His people that are in Egypt are being called out. His people that are in bondage are being called out. His people that are believing the lie of Satan, slaves, love Jesus, but slaves, because for whatever reasons, they're coming out with the gospel of grace. Father, we thank you for that tonight. And we love and worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.